Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And I would like to welcome all of our Facebook listeners, our YouTube, our Twitters and Instagram and Block Talk Radio. However you listen to Pray One for Another, may God bless you and welcome. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service, excuse me, without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. But first, let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. God of my salvation, I do not take lightly the sacrifice you made for my salvation, so that your righteousness could be imputed to me through Jesus Christ. Help me understand how great this salvation truly is, so that I will live each day in continual gratitude, motivate to serve you all the more. Help others to come to you, come to know you as Lord and Savior. Open their hearts and minds to receive you as God of my salvation. Send into this world those who will tell of your great love and testify to the saving power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Visit people in sermons, teachings, books, and even dreams, so they also may be saved. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection.
Thy sail not mighty by day. this is what I'm gonna do.
Praise be to God. All of my help comes from the Lord. Lord, I ask you to protect our children physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, and in every way you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, and you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God.
Yeah.
Dear God, I want to thank you for all of those things that you do that I never see, helping me get through each day safely, making sure my family is protected, and all of the other countless blessings I never that I see. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another short selection and then come back with our daily bread for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message, which is entitled, See the Father. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from John chapter 14, verse 9. And it says, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Praise be to God. The writer says, today, stop for a moment and consider that with the birth of Jesus. God himself has come to earth as a man. That means that in Jesus, we have a glimpse of what our Creator and Sustainer looks like. Of course, we do not see the full scope of who he is, because the King of Kings has emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, Philippians 2 and 7. But we have the privilege of seeing him interacting with people, teaching, healing, feeding them, and even dying on the cross to save us. What we see in Jesus is so telling. He did not compliment the religious leaders for their outward appearance of piety. Matthew 23:27. Rather, he praised the Centurion for his genuine recognition of Christ's authority. Luke 7:2-9. While the Roman soldiers were putting nails in his hands and feet, Jesus forgave them, recognizing in Luke 23:34, they do not know what they are doing. That is our God, loving, forgiving, and concern more with our spiritual health than on what we look like from the outside. So as you read about Jesus today, think of yourself. This is how God would interact with me, and take comfort in how wise and compassionate he really is. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you that through your earthly life, I see how you interact with me as my God. Truly, you are worthy of praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another. Where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Again, at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
And he's able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen.
Amen.
He's able.
Yeah!
at your neighbor, tell him it's able.
Able.
Come on, say it's able. What you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose, and is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord, call on his name, cause he's able, cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yes. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able.
Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are able. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, our work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. And may you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection, and then after the selection, I will come with our Jesus, light of the world, reflections. Amen. After a short selection. Day 9 of our Jesus Light of the World reflection. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a censor should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea. David's ancestral home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snugly in strips of clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, "You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And the title of this message is Centerpiece of Our Life. Centerpiece of our lives. The writer says, two key characters were suddenly missing from our little town's nativity scene, Mary and the baby Jesus. I did a double take as I drove by. My first thought was to put out a missing persons report with the local authorities. But then I did not quite know what I'll say. Everyone was there but the two. We had just had a terrible windstorm, so maybe they had been blown away. Then again, perhaps criminals' activity was at play and someone stole them. As strange as that may sound, either way, the nativity scene simply wasn't the same without them, and especially without him. The characters in the birth narratives of Jesus are important in that they all played vital roles in the unfolding story. Joseph, a descendant of King David in Luke 2 and 4. Mary, to whom he was engaged, and expecting a child in verse 5. The shepherds guarding their flocks, verse 8. And a radiant angel of the Lord, verse 9. But the focus of the entire scene, the key to Christmas or Christmas, the sign on which everything else depended, made back then and still today, way back then and still today, is the Messiah, the Lord, the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger in verses 11 through 12. Our lives and roles we play in the ongoing narratives of God's redemption story are vitally important. But the main character was and is and always will be our beautiful Savior, Christ the Lord. He's no longer the baby, but the King who reigns forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. I hope and pray that this reflection is a blessing to you as it is to me. Here's two questions. Which of the human characters in the Nativity do you resonate with the most? And what can you do this season and throughout the year to ensure that Christ stays the centerpiece of your life? Think about those two questions, amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for inviting me into your grand story. Help me as I seek to live so that all glory and honor always goes to you. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And tune in tomorrow for number 10. Praise the Lord. Again, you are, and that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Come on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God, anointing, fall on me. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Amen? And we are going to read verses 1 through 6. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is the way to the Father. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Amen? Praise be to God. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus' words shows that the way to eternal life through unseen is secured as your trust in Jesus. He has already prepared the way to eternal life. The only issue is that may still be unsettled. Is your willingness to believe. There are few verses in the scripture that describes eternal life, but these few verses are rich with promises. Here Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come and get you. We can look forward to eternal life because Jesus has promised it to all who believe in him. Although the details of eternity are unknown, we need not fear because Jesus is preparing for us and will spend eternity with us. This is one of the most basic and important passages in the scripture. So how can we know the way to God? Only through Jesus. Jesus is the way because he is both God and man. By uniting our lives with his, we are united with God. Trust Jesus to take you to the Father, and all the benefits of being God's child will be yours. Jesus says He is the only way to God the Father. Some people may argue that this way is too narrow. In reality, it is wide enough for the whole world if the world chooses to accept it, instead of worrying about how limited it sounds to have only one way. We should be saying, thank you, God, for providing a sure way to get to you. Amen. Praise be to God. And as the way, Jesus is our path to the Father. And as the truth, he is the reality of all God's promises. As the life, he joins his divine life to ours, both now and eternally. Jesus is, in truth, the only living way to God the Father. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you for coming down and dying on the cross for our sins, Lord God. That we, as unfaithful, as undeserving as we are, thank you for seeing fit to love on us, to send your only son to die on the cross for our sins. Not even his sins, but our sins. That's how much God loves us. Gracious and loving Father, during this time of the year, we are reminded over and over of the generosity of your gifts to us in Jesus Christ. Tonight, we bow with the wise men of old and bring to him the gifts of our love, our praise, and our treasures. Accept our tithes and offerings. Bless them for the use of proclaiming the good news of Christ to the ends of the earth. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, Father God, move self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. You see, the story of Christmas is incomplete without the second coming of Christ. Christianity had a historical incarnation, and it will have a historical consummation. Salvation, the purpose of God's first coming, would be incomplete without Christ's coming again. The second coming of Christ is the glorious event that will bring to fruition all the benefits and blessings of salvation. Why is Christ coming again? So let us seek some answers to this question. Amen. My text for this message is coming from John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3. And it says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Praise be to God. My title for this message is, Why is Jesus Coming Again? So let's find out. Jesus is coming again to claim his own. Jesus said in John 14:2-3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ returned to heaven from the earth to prepare a place for his people. He will gather his people to him. He will instruct the righteous dead as his coming. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. He will translate the righteous ones who are living at the time of his coming. Then he said in 1 Timothy 4:17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming again to judge. The Bible makes it clear that Christ is coming to judge. His coming will be glory for the believer, but disaster for the unsaved people. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. One of the last things Jesus said in Revelation is Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. When our Lord comes again, everyone will have to give an account of his or her life. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again to reward the righteous. At the second coming of Christ, the righteous will be rewarded for their faithfulness. He will send his angels out to gather the elect. The redeemed will be suited in white robes for eternity, and crowns will be placed on their worthy brows. Crowns will be placed on their worthy brows. The redeemed will enter Christ's kingdom where nothing can ever mold this or make afraid or cause unhappiness. When the chief shepherd appears, his people will receive crowns of glory that do not fade. 1 Peter 5 and 4. Amen. Jesus is coming again to reject unbelievers. The second coming of Christ will be tragic for unbelievers who rejected Christ as Lord and Savior. It will be a devastating time for those who are not redeemed. For Jesus will say in Matthew 25, 41 and 46, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Those who have refused his mercy, turn away from his truth, trampled on his law, neglected his church, persecuted his people, and despised his grace will meet their eternal fate at Christ's coming again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus is coming to make cosmic changes in the earth. The Bible passage that speaks of cosmic changes at Christ's coming are found in several places. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Amen. That's Romans chapter 8. Let's get to Romans. 6. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. Praise be to God. Give me 1 second. Amen. Again, that scripture was Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23, where it says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. To God be the glory. So Christians, sin has caused all creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. The world is in bondage to death and decay so that it cannot fulfill its intended purpose. One day, all creation will be liberated and transformed, and until that time, it waits in eager expectation for the resurrection of God's children. Christians see the world as it is, physically decaying and spiritually infected with sin. But Christians do not need to be pessimistic because they have hope for the future glory. They look forward to the new heaven and the new earth that God has promised, and they wait for God's new order that will free the world from sin, sickness, and evil. In the meantime, Christians go with Christ into the world where they heal people's bodies and souls and fight the evil effects of sin in the world. Praise be to God. Now, turn with, Revelation 21 and 1 says, Peter acts, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13. Amen. 2 Peter 3. Praise be to God. 1 John, 1 Peter. That's 2 Peter 3. One, two. Amen. 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13, praise God. And it says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Amen. Praise be to God. So the day of the Lord is the day of God's judgment on earth. Here it is used in reference to Christ's return. Christ's second coming will be suddenly and terrible for those who do not believe in him. But if we are morally clean and spiritually alert, it won't come as a surprise. For other prophetic pictures of the day of the Lord, see Isaiah 34 and 4, Joel 3 and 15 and 16, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6, 12 through 17, realizing that the earth is going to be burned up, we should put our confidence in what is lasting and eternal and not be bound to the earth and its treasures or pursuits. Do you spend more of your time piling up possessions or striving to develop Christ-like characters? God's purpose for people is not destruction, but recreation. Isaiah 66:22, Revelation 21:22. God will purify the heavens and earth with fire. Then he will create them again. We can joyously look forward to the restoration of God's good world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The earth was cursed after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. The harmony and the beauty will be restored. The second Adam will completely undo the works of the first Adam, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is coming again to usher in the eternal kingdom of God. At the second coming of Christ, the work of redemption will be finished. He will then give the kingdom back to the Father. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 24 says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Praise be to God. Jesus is coming again to manifest his people. Paul said, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ, who will testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen, amen, and amen. 1 Timothy 6, 13 through 16 in the NIV. Christ's has been glorified with the glory he had with the Father. And John 17:5 says, before the world was, Christ also has been glorified in his death. John 12:23 and John 13:31. Peter declared to the Jews that in the resurrection of Christ, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, Acts 3:13, 1 Peter 1:21. Christ now has a glorified body, Philippians 3:21. He is glorified by the Holy Spirit, John 16:14. And he is glorified in his redeemed, John 17:10. In the suffering of his own, 1 Peter 4:14. And in the gospel, 2 Corinthians 8:19. The very gospel preached is the gospel of the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, 1 Timothy 1:11. Hallelujah. When Jesus is coming again to reign forever and ever, Jesus is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to reign forever and ever. Hear John the Apostle in Revelation 19:11-16. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The kingdom over which our Lord will reign is an everlasting kingdom. Gabriel said to Jesus' mother Mary in Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Daniel the prophet said in Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever and ever. Praise be to God. It shall stand forever and ever. Here are three words upon any of which stresses may be laid. Upon the word trouble, be not cast down and disquieted. The word heart, let your heart be kept with full trust in God, the word yours. However, others are overwhelmed with the sorrows of this present time. Be not you so. Christ's disciples, more than others, should keep their minds quiet when everything else is unquiet. Here is the remedy against this trouble of mine. Believe by believing in Christ as the mediator between God and man. We gain comfort. The happiness of heaven is spoken of as in a father's house. There are many mansions, and there are many sons to be brought to glory. Mansions are lasting dwellings. Christ will be the finisher of that of which he is the author or beginner. If he had prepared the place for us, he will prepare us for it. Christ is the sinner's way to the Father and to heaven in his person as God manifests in the flesh, in his atoning sacrifice, and as our advocate. He is the truth, as fulfilling all the prophecies of a Savior, believing which sinners come by him, the way. He is the life, by whose life-giving spirit the dead in sin are quickened. Nor can any man draw nigh to God as a father who is not quickened by him as the life and taught by him as the truth to come by him as the way, by Christ as the way. Our prayers go to God and his blessings come to us. This is the way that leads to rest, the good old way. He is the resurrection and the life. All that saw Christ by faith saw the Father in him. In the light of Christ's doctrine, they saw God as the Father of lights. And in Christ's miracles, they saw God as the God of power. The holiness of God shone in the spotless purity of Christ's life. We are to believe the revelation of God, the man in Christ, for the works of the Redeemer shows forth his own glory and God in him. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as I bring this message to a close, the first coming of Christ brought hope. His coming again is the blessed hope. As we contemplate his coming again, our hearts cry out with the Apostle John in Revelation 22 and 20. Come, Lord Jesus. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is on to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, rose from the dead, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing that you should do is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church Amen. A good Bible-based church. Praise God. My benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in again to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with another word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas, a healthy and happy one. Stay warm and just enjoy life until Christ come again. Amen. We love you and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for tuning in to Pray One for Another. At this time, I will play a selection, and good night and shalom. Happy
Kingdom of God.
the tree of life.